Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight, we have special guest actress Simona Berlikova. Simona is in the upcoming film, Gala Walkers, starring Wesley Snipes. Simona is playing the villainess Akiscut. Aside from her acting career, Simona has found time to travel the world and has even lived with Eskimos in Alaska, as well as a Maasai tribe in Kenya. And to top it off, she also speaks 7 languages. So I think this is going to be quite an interesting show, and we're going to learn a lot from Simona. So let's bring her on the show. Hi, Simona. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. So I guess, you know, like I was saying before we were on air, I think this is a really good opportunity, Simona, for you to really show your fans and, you know, even your friends and family the other side of Simona, the side that people rarely get to see. So really, we're going to dive right in and start talking about your spirituality. So can you give us a little bit of an overview as to what your spiritual beliefs are?
You know, I don't have, like, my views are not kind of, you know, set in stone, but my whole spiritual development, I definitely believe, I guess, like, personally, I'm very intuitive and a very good reader of people, and I always rely on my own instincts that I like to say right now they're pretty sharp, but they not always used to be like that. And I think my whole spiritual development started, oh, my awareness of my spirituality started when my grandmother was dying, and I was very, very close to her. And I really didn't want to lose her, but I was away from her. I was in London, and she was in Slovakia. So I was seeking any and every possible means of just, you know, finding out how long she's going to be with us. And somebody introduced me to a wonderful clairvoyant spiritualist in France. So I went to see the lady. Actually, no, I sent her the copy of my left palm and my current picture at the time. And she was so absolutely spot on, which made me question, it's got to be other dimension, like how the person who's never met me can say pretty much everything about my past and exactly what's going on with my grandmother. And she even, you know, called the time frame of, you know, when she said, you know, you should go back if you want to see her because she will pass away, you know, by the end of July. And sure enough, I went to see her very last time and said goodbye to her before she passed away. And so from then on, I can sort of pinpoint my awakening, or not necessarily awakening, you know, more about just being more aware, and I started reading and really just being more aware of my own being, you know, what's happening and how the world perceives me and how I perceive the world, and, you know, the things that are just not material things that you can't explain it, but they are actually there.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, my very beginning. But also, I think I just thought about it when we spoke earlier. I think I wanted to share with you is that, and maybe this is the show to express it, because a lot of times, you know, I don't share this information with people because they would, a lot of people just look at me like I'm a bit, you know, off the tracker. When I was very young, I used to get what they call evil eye. And now I don't know whether you believe in it. Like, now I know why and how it happens. But I used to get very ill to the point where, you know, like, it starts with headaches. Then I start getting nauseous, and I would just be really physically unwell to the point where I just, like, wither like a flower. And I remember one time my parents, it was so bad that after like 2 weeks, my parents keep on bringing me to doctors, and finally the doctor said, look, at this point I just have to advise you to take her to a witch doctor, because there's nothing else we can do, like we can't see anything wrong with her. So my mom took me to I guess you can call it a witch doctor, but just an old lady who was just obviously more spiritually aware. And she looked at me and straight away she said, yeah, she's got an evil eye, which, you know, you can, it's like a spirit passed on. And it's just something with your past lives. So, and she just did something with a, it's like a spiritual, she gave me like a tea and she, whatever, she did like a ritual. And I got better. Like it was instantly I felt like something was lifting off of me. And within 24 hours to 2 days, I was back to myself. I started eating again because my appetite was totally lost. And this kept on happening up until I was about 15, until I started to understand, you know, what's going on spiritually in the world. This is actually, you know, I was just so open and vulnerable to the world that there are some people they don't realize, but, you know, it's just their intentions that can hurt you.
And yeah. I have never heard of evil eye. I've never really... So what you're talking about is that you're saying that a spirit has attached itself to you, or is this something from your past life that's surfacing? I didn't quite get or understand what you meant.
You know, I think it's probably something from the past life. I don't think the spirit would attach to myself, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, a certain time, like there are people that they would look at you and hurt you unintentionally, like they don't even know about it, but I think it's something to do, you know, from the past life, that are somehow you were interlinked, or the spirits recognize each other, and you know, and with just that one look, you can catch that bad energy, the bad vibration. And you know, because I was so open, and I guess my energy's quite pure, as I found out recently, it's you know, I can take on board more than people who are not so open to these kind of things or experiences.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you know, yeah. The way you were describing that to me is, I get the impression that you were picking up, you know, extra energy that, you know, carrying it around with you, because, you know, looking at your date of birth that you gave me before the show, you know, it looks to me like you've got a lot of soul plane energy, and so you're almost, you know, intuitively picking up all of this, you know, emotional energy.
Yes.
And all of these things from other people, and you're not recognizing, or you weren't recognizing it when you were a child, because
yes,
like you say,
I
you
wasn't
were so pure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would know straight away when I would meet someone, and I know within first 2 seconds who they are. Like, you know, what
exactly.
Kind of people they are. And yeah. You know,
yeah,
sometimes
it's very
you meet...
empathic, yes. Yeah,
yeah,
you read
very,
people that way, so you can really sense, you know, probably as a child you could sense if someone was angry, or, you know, just whatever they were feeling at the time, because you could just
mm-hmm.
read them that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess for me, when you were telling your story, that just sounded to me like a child who was bombarded with psychic, you know, energy, basically, negative
mm-hmm.
psychic energy. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that happens all the time. And so I think what she was doing for you was more or less cleansing your energy, right?
Cleansing, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely cleansing. And it was like a spirit, the whole ritual I had to do afterwards, you know. She gave me the liquid. It was like a tea from a specific herb that I had to wash my face with and then just throw it behind the building of my house. Not in front. It had to be behind. And, you know, as much as some people laughed at me, and my brother was just like, oh, my God, this is just unreal. But you know what? It helped. And I have, you know, nothing left with but to believe it, that it was the cleanser and it did help. And so, you know, all these little experiences add up to me, to my spiritual growing up, and then and just really started to seek the other side of being, rather than just, you know, what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
You know, like sometimes you meet people and they smile at you, and they read, and it's, and like, what I find, like, I heavily rely on my instincts, especially living in Los Angeles, because everyone smiles and everyone has a certain angle. But you really have to read people's intentions, you know, what they really want. Not what's on their faces, but what, you know, what really is going on behind those masks.
Yeah.
And I think that you can only recognize when you truly, like, true to your spiritual center.
Right, and that kind of leads me to the next question that I wanted to ask you, was that is there something that you do in your daily life that really keeps you grounded and keeps you kind of centered? Because, I mean, you're in Hollywood, you know, you're around people who are really, it's like a dog-eat-dog world kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So how do you really keep, and especially being so sensitive in the spiritual sense, you know, you pick up a lot of stuff, you know, even now that you've grown up and understood a lot of what's going on, you still are very sensitive. So how do you deal with that, or how do you, you know, keep the negative off of you and keep yourself grounded and centered?
Well, you know, I feel very blessed that I came to Los Angeles with a very good background, you know, coming from Europe, also the upbringing, and just my whole spiritual development happened before I arrived here. I'm not, you know, it's obviously it's happening every single day, but I built up a very strong center and core, and that is my real strength. You know, I always ask myself, why aren't things happening faster? You know, how come I'm not like progressing much sooner? But now I see why. You know, I think universe always has a much grander plan for you than you think. And I think had everything happened to me when I was 15, I would not be able to handle it. So being in LA right now, you know, I just really remember, you know, I was raised like a tomboy on a farm. And my grandmother was so earthy, and she always walked around, like in summer, she would work in a field barefoot. And I think that connection through your feet to the earth is really important, because I think earth takes out your negativity. So, you know, sometimes when I get stressed in Los Angeles, for example, you know, you go to, I mean, you know, also you have to, there's a big part in Los Angeles, you know, you can expose yourself to Hollywood. So you go, you do what you have to do, and then you can go to, for example, Santa Monica and lie down on the beach. And that's what I do. Even when the weather's not very sunny, I just like to lie down and let the earth and all the elements that meet on the beach just take out the negativity from me. And I think beach for me is like the very sacred place, because all the elements come together. You know, you have the water, you have the air, you have the sun, you have the earth. So that's, you know, that's how I keep myself. You know, if I feel very stressed, and, you know, of course, we all human beings, we get stressed sometimes just hopeless. And, you know, I just go down, lie down, and come back to my center, meditate, and recharge.
And that's so typical of the seven. We were talking before the show that you're a seven, and sevens love their alone time. They love that time to contemplate things.
Yes.
And to center themselves. So I can see why you like to do that for sure. So, you know, that's typical of a seven to ground like that. So that's a really good thing that you're doing. You know, you've got, I guess like you say, you know, you had that spiritual center before you came, which is so important, right? You'd definitely be lost without that. Go ahead.
I like to, you know, if I feel down sometimes, I just, you know, I just pick up like any self-help book or just, you know, anything that's inspirational and get myself back into that positive and high vibration mode, because I think negativity is a spiral. Like once you get into that zone, if you don't do anything to lift yourself up, you can really just go further lower and go lower and lower. But if you do something positive for yourself, or just meet with people with good energy, or not necessarily wait for anyone else, you know, to come and rescue you. Just, you know, do something. You know, I love animals, so I would just go for a walk into one of the canyons around LA, and there are always people walking dogs. I wish I had my pets here, but I don't. And so, you know, I just go and play with dogs, you know, and I think animals always have that very pure, unaffected, love-giving, unconditional energy. And you know, that's other ways of just getting more grounded. You know, for me, nature and animals always bring me back to reality.
Yes, me too. I agree with that. I mean, when I'm feeling frazzled, if I take a walk in nature, I feel so much better. And it's the grounding factor, right? I mean, it really, like you say, the bare feet on the ground even, it's very grounding.
Yes.
Yeah, so what brought you...
Sorry, go ahead. I feel like
no,
talking too much.
No.
I read somewhere that it's really important for people living in the city to just connect with Earth at least, if not every day, at least once a week. Just take off your shoes and really not socks, just bare feet, just touch the, not cement, but, walk on the grass or walk on the beach or on the sand, just something that's really, because we're so, we're always used to being in our shoes. Then you walk on a concrete, you're in a car, and you can lose that sense and touch with reality and with nature, the actual, the creator, the source. So I think it's got to be something to it. It's working for me, so.
Yes, I think you've got it right, definitely. So what drew you to be an actress? I mean, from the sounds of what you've been telling me so far, I mean, you're very, you're a deeply spiritual person. You're very connected to your spiritual self. What drew you to Hollywood?
What drew me to Hollywood? Ever since I was little, I had this birth vision of just being grand, just like huge on the stage with lights. I followed Michael Jackson, and he was like my first hero. So I always wanted to be and do exactly what Michael Jackson does. And, coming from country, I come from former Czechoslovakia, that was an ex-communist country. It was something very, just exotic and almost impossible to attain. But that just, goes to show that I didn't know at the time that I was using visualization skills, but I guess that's what it was because I saw it vividly every single day of my life since I was little. I just followed that path, and then things, I guess the universe opened doors and showed me the path. I must have very good spiritual guides somewhere out there to kind of guide me, because I come from an academic family, so, my parents weren't the ones who were, into the arts or into entertainment. It was quite the opposite. But, again, it must be the ethereal force, that showed me the path. And, I always wanted to express myself. For me, acting, I always had a lot of energy, but the energy didn't really have the form. So I knew I wanted to be an entertainer, and I knew I wanted to just be out there, maybe a dancer. I have a lot of energy naturally, so I was naturally a good dancer, good mover. I excelled at sports, but it's only later that things took shape, and I knew it's kind of acting found me. And, I always dreamt big, so why not start in Hollywood? But, it was never about, I want to be famous. I guess maybe when I was very little, it was like, it was very glamorous, but I was never the one going like, I want to be famous, I'm famous. It's more about just like being out there and express yourself,
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And that, that whole notion matured, now obviously I just want to, it's a form of expression. It was a wonderful therapy, analyzing all the characters, and just to getting to know the characters, you get to know yourself, and now the ambition is to just make it as big as possible so then I can lend my hand or the name, once you have a certain name, lend that name to causes or maybe charities or events that could help less privileged people. Or people in the less privileged situations, So that's a grand plan. In the meantime, I'm just taking step by step and working super hard and see, what the universe has in store for me.
Yes. Well, listening to you talk about, the energy, having lots of energy, I just wanted to make a note that the 7 is the most active physical plane number. So, again, that energy is probably coming from you being
that
a very
explains.
Physical
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing with the 7s, too, they're always very humanitarian. So the talk about the charity things is definitely a draw for your life path, too. So what is your ideal role? What would you, you like to, I guess, give a message with what you're doing with the acting. What would be your ideal role?
There's not one ideal role. I thought about it long and hard. I would absolutely love to play Cinderella. Be it, I know, I don't get cast as Cinderella, but it is something, I think it was my favorite tale when I was growing up. I used to read it to my grandma. And also, you know, if I couldn't play her physically, I mean, I probably would be playing the Wicked Witch. But, you know, maybe just do the voices in maybe a cartoon. That's one of the ambitions. But, you know, I'm drawn to characters that very strong and have, you know, obviously have something to say. Characters who've been through something have like a deep, darker journey. You know, that you see them, okay, this is where they're now, but obviously the reason why they're, I don't know, maybe acting certain ways because of their whole, you know, path and not so cheery and sunny past. And I think, and I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, certain characters, we all act a certain way because of our past. So I don't think I'll be playing the girl next door. but, you know, the characters that I tend to get cast for are usually very strong women. You know, someone who has been through something in her life and is now, you know, quite powerful, or someone
your energy. I think that you give off that vibe. You know, they cast you for these strong roles because you are a strong woman, you know. And again, referencing the seven, you know, they don't take advice from anyone. They usually do it their way or the highway, right? So they're very strong, independent people. So that's kind of the vibe that you give off, right? And so that's the roles that you're attracting to you.
Yes, possibly. But, you know, wherever I can, and with those characters, what is interesting is to show the vulnerable side. You know, that is something that people don't necessarily see. You know, they just think, wow, you know, bundle of energy, strong. But all those strong characters, you know, talking about purely in terms of Hollywood movie characters, you know, they are sometimes the strength or the you know, acting certain way, it's a mask because you don't want to be hurt anymore. You know,
right.
The character has been through so much that it's just developed certain characteristics to mask that emotional center or to protect that emotional center. And, you know, playing those characters, it's nice to show that that very vulnerability. So I think that's what really draws me. It gives more of a color to those characters.
Yes, I agree. So let's talk a little bit about your time with the Eskimos and the tribe in Kenya. How did that come about? How did you end up there?
You know, I went to New York. It was the first time when I went to the States. I always saw the skyline of Manhattan. And so when I finally got there, I was just walking around Manhattan, and I saw an advert in one of the travel agencies saying, you know, Alaska, trip to Alaska. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. My grandma always used to talk about Alaska. She used to talk about, like, Siberia and Alaska. And she would always, like, every time we would watch documentaries together, she loved, like, you know, National Geographic and those sort of channels. And she would always talk about Alaska. So they just kind of started, like, you know, why don't I just go and explore it? So that's how the idea started. I think had it not been for my grandma, I probably would never even, like, heard of Alaska. Maybe, I mean, of course I have heard of it, but, you know, it would never give me the impulse to go. So, yeah, I went, and I stayed with Eskimos in Kotzebue. It's an Eskimo village. I flew to Anchorage and from Anchorage to Kotzebue, and that was very interesting, you know, just to see how simple their way of lives are compared to ours, you know. And it was the same way for Maasai tribe in Kenya. You know, we talk about, you know, materialistic world, and we think we're so advanced, and yes, in a way we are, but imagine if our computers crash, we're probably going to go down with the whole system, whereas they are so much more self-sufficient than, and very, I mean, talking about very basic, but that I remember thinking that, you know, being with Eskimos or in Maasai tribe, that it's like, you know, they're so self-sufficient. They go and they find everything from the nature. You know, like the Eskimos, they go fishing, and for them, you know, fish is everything. I saw they killed the whale, so the whole village had you know, food to eat for I guess at least a week. I don't know how long for, but and also from the bones they would carve the various artifacts that then they later sold. You know, and that obviously brought them some revenue. So I thought it was quite interesting. You know, and same thing with Maasai. You know, everything is nature. Their houses, or more like the shacks, were built from cow's dung.
Wow.
And yeah, and you know, it's just twigs, wood, and cow's dung. So like, if they kill, yeah, I know. If they kill an animal, for example, so they really like. They milk the cow for milk. They then make cheese. They use the meat. They use the skin for to make clothes. But also they created like little mattresses from it to sleep on. And obviously, you know, they even use the excrements to create their houses. So. Very interesting, you know, very interesting. And I was just like kind of hoping, like, my God, you know, I hope you don't get corrupted by the whole Western civilization. Because, you know,
yeah.
I guess, you know, for them, it's very exotic to, you know, our way of living. But I just think they're so much happier. They don't even realize it. You know, you always want what you don't have. But, you know, it's just the whole community, for example. You know, they sing. I mean, for, you know, for a lot of people, they could think, oh, it's so backwards. But yes and no, you know. Yeah, they don't have the technology. But, you know, their community, the family system as a unit, you know, there's so much, like, to help each other. You know, I didn't spend enough time to know whether the whole, you know, human emotions of, like, you know, envy, jealousy, whether that's there. I'm sure it is in a different form probably than it is with us in our society. But it was just very interesting, you know, to see how they live. And I guess that's how we lived at some point, you know.
Yes.
Maybe in a,
and, you know, I've often felt the urge to revert back sometimes. I don't know if anyone else has had this, I guess, yearning inside. It's almost like sometimes I long for, you know, it to be like Little House on the Prairie days again. You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
And I just want to leave everything behind and just live simply.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like that scenario when you eat a lot of junk food and you really
exactly.
want a home-cooked meal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look at what's happening right now. We are reverting. You know, if you look at all the organic movement, what's going on, it's a huge business right now. But really, organic, I remember, you know, when I was growing up in Czechoslovakia, which was, you know, I mean, you guys were so much more developed and industrialized and capitalized than we were. But, you know, we had chickens and everything that I used to pick apples and all the vegetables and fruit. You know, where from just home, we didn't have the organic label on it. And now, you know, organic is just like, it's more expensive. And, but, you know, of course, you know, the whole, you know, new age movement is towards, like, you know, be all natural and, you know, eat right and without chemicals, et cetera, because I think, like, you know, we are really poisoning our society with all the chemicals and pesticides and everything that, you know, that we are putting in our food. So, I don't know, you know, like, I think back in the days, was there that much cancer around? I don't know.
No, and
you know?
I don't know if you've seen the movie Food, Inc. I know there's a movie out that's kind of...
There is. I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen
it. It's quite eye-opening, let's just say. Mm. It's very, you know, it really shows us what's behind, you know, the food industry and what they're doing to us, right? So it's really amazing. It's scary, but it's... Yeah, and you know what you were speaking of too—that we are reverting back because we've got this financial crisis worldwide,
correct.
And you know a lot of things are being taken away from a lot of people, right? You know, you know, the luxuries that we once had—you know—we have to conserve and we have to cut back on some of the, you know, luxury items that we were used to. So it makes us think about, you know, our inner life rather than all of the outer
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a blessing in disguise in a way, right? And they do say more more of these crises and things are coming our way, which will really drive home the message that, you know, we need a balance. We can't just have all of this ego going on, right? We need both.
Absolutely. And I think it also to show people where we came from. You know, we think we're so much smarter than nature. Like, we are, the children of nature, if you want. You know, we came from nature. How dare you think you're smarter than Earth? So I think this is why, you know, like all the, I just believe that, you know, all the tsunamis and earthquakes and, you know, whatnot, whatever's happening, is just Earth's answer to our actions.
Yes, well, it's responding to our energy, the vibrations
Absolutely.
That we're sending out. We're just getting it
totally.
Back, you know. Yeah, it's responding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to put out there, actually, just to let everyone know that we're at the halfway mark. So we'll be taking callers or chat questions if you have any questions or comments for Simona. The call-in number is 1-877-296-0345. So we'll just keep chatting away, Simona. And if we get a caller, we'll take the caller. If we'll get a chat question, we'll take that too. All right, so the next question I had for you was about the seven languages. Now, this is amazing. I mean, where on earth did you find the time to learn seven languages?
I actually don't know. You know, I always knew I want to speak in English. That was like a must. So I would, you know, obviously listen to Michael Jackson. I would learn from the songs. And then I learned how to count. So there was kind of like the very basic English was when I was, I don't know, maybe six years old. I would like cut out various images of, I don't know, trees and chairs, and then looking in the dictionary and name them. So that's how I got to learn English. And then obviously further on, I took up English at school. I speak Slovak, I speak Czech, that's just my native languages. You know, it used to be one country, Czechoslovakia, so there was, you know, a language was spoken Czech and Slovak, and unfortunately when the country divided, now, you know, there are two languages, but it's, you know, I don't know, you know, we still understand, maybe apparently kids born, like, in the last 5 years, they don't understand Czech if they're Slovaks and the other way around, but I don't know. Yeah. So, and then I went to school and I fell in love with Italian singer called Eros Ramazzotti. And literally, like, I loved his music and I had a total crush on him. And so I remember he had one song and the video had the words, like, you know, running across the screen of the TV, and I was just like, my God, this is such a beautiful language. So literally the next day I was at language school. So my parents were like, you are never gonna like stick to any of the languages, you're gonna have a like big mishmash and you're never gonna just learn anything proper, because you know you're learning English, and then I was learning French, and now Italian, you know, and at the same time, you know, when I was in elementary school, we had to learn Russian at school, so you know, everything was just going on. But luckily for me, you know, I had parents that they did travel, you know, a little bit, so we did go to Italy. And I use my Italian language skills. And, I guess I have a good faculty somewhere in my blonde brain that I'm a fast learner. You know, I would not necessarily have the best vocabulary, but I became very fluent quickly. So, and then I also had a lot of audacity in me since I was a child. Maybe that's the bratty tomboy in me. After 3 months of learning Italian, I applied to be an interpreter for handball squad, and I got the job. So I ended up going to Italy, barely speaking Italian. So I was forced to really, you know, like, just, I was sleeping with a dictionary. And yeah, you know, I learned
wow,
really fast.
Wow, well, nothing like boot camp, right? You gotta just...
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so I was making a note of some of the languages you said that you spoke. That's amazing. So you're fluent in all of these or just some of them?
Well, I'm fluent in English, French, Italian, Czech, Slovak. I like to say Russian, because I still read and write, I used to do theatricals in Russian. But, I mean, I guess I could say Russian, yes, as well, fluent, but not as fluent as in English. I guess I would need like 1 week of intense practice to get back into fluency. But I understand about 80-90%, as is the case with Polish. You know, I speak slang, a Slovak slang, which is it's like 95% similar to Polish language. So, you know, when Polish people speak, I pretty much understand 99%, and I can speak it as well. And we travel to Poland a lot. So I guess like my Polish and Spanish would be kind of passive. Not as fluent as English, for example. But, you know, I can get by. I can travel around and get by. What I need to learn is Chinese.
Oh, Chinese. Wow. Yes. I don't know how you hold it all in your head.
I don't know. You know, it's something I never thought about. Like, you know, I never learned those languages with an intention of like, okay, I have to learn it. You know, there was no pressure. I did it because I wanted it. And... you know, like, for example, like Polish, you know, we used to travel to Poland, and it was just something like, I'm like, I'm understanding this. This is cool. And then, you know, the more you go in there and you go, you want to shop around, so you learn, you know, more specific words. And I don't know, it was just something more, it was kind of natural, you know. I guess it's like, you know, when you speak Italian, Spanish is very similar. So that's not difficult to learn, and I guess maybe when you speak Spanish first, then Italian is not so difficult to learn. So, you know, I was fluent in Italian, and then, you know, again, traveling around, meeting, living around Spanish people, then you just, you know, become, you pick it up even more. And you know, sometimes if I'm talking to Spanish, I kind of invent some words that come from Italian, and they look at me like, ah, that's more Italian than Spanish, but okay, we understand, you know.
yeah.
But yeah, I think 5 fluently, and then 2 not so fluent. And I always say, like, the body language. I'm very fluent in the body language. You know, when you're talking to a man, they're like, oh, wow, you're flirting with me. But I'm sure you know how important is the body language. Again, the body never lies.
Yeah.
You know, your emotions live in the body. So, you know, again, people can smile and they can say one thing, but you just watch their body language. You know, you see whether they, I mean, even just a slight movement of the eyes, you know, whether they're talking, you know, they're saying truth or not. So it's very interesting. I actually studied that. You know, there are books on body language.
Yeah.
And
people forget that. I mean, what did they say? 90% of communication is body language? Is that what
you
they say?
You just took that sentence out of my mouth. I was just about to say that. Literally. Yeah.
Yeah, and people forget that, though. You know, they take mm-hmm. whatever people are saying at face value, and then they forget to look at the way that they're behaving. So, yeah, I'm pretty observant of that, too. So I tend to look at people, how they're acting. I was always an observant child, so I've carried that forward into my adulthood as well. What's your take on the 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar? What's your whole thoughts on that?
I'm waiting to see. I got a party ready. That's why I live every day as if it's the last, or at least I'm trying. You know, I did think about it, and I think Mayans and Aztecs, they were much smarter than we are. You know, I'm not a clairvoyant. I don't think the world is going to end. It's not like all of a sudden there's going to, you know, come a big catastrophe and we're all going to die. I just think that the whole consciousness is shifting, and it is happening now, and it has been happening. You know, I think the whole collapse of the financial market, the whole, you know, exactly what's happening right now is not a coincidence. And I think we're just becoming more aware of it now, and that whole, you know, 2012 is just like, it's like because we can see it now. It's in our hindsight. But I don't think, you know, what's going to collapse. If something's going to happen, it's probably going to be more of natural catastrophes and disasters. And I don't know. You know, I like to believe that it is just the shift in the world and people's consciousness to getting away from the material into more spiritual. And I think that will be the it's a mark of the new era of human thinking and behaving. That's what I believe, and I like to think positive. So, you know, I think it's for the best. Maybe something's gonna hit us and we're gonna disappear. But I'll be very interesting.
Yes, I agree. You know, I put that question in there for a lot of people just because I find their answer usually tells a lot about, you know, their spiritual beliefs or where they stand in terms of spiritual development and things like that. I just find it an interesting question to ask because
yes.
Some people stumble upon it and some people have very strong opinions on it. So it just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not scared of it. I just think, you know, whatever will be, you know.
Yes,
so.
And I think you're right. You know, that's what I believe too, that we're, you know, we're just, there's not a set date that's going to say, okay, this is the date and we're all going to be magically transformed into these beautiful people. It's
mm-hmm.
an evolutionary process. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
but,
sure
but
you know
absolutely.
Back. Sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, no, what were you saying?
Like, I'm sure, you know, in the past, people, there must have been, you know, millennium, people think the world's going to end. 2000, that's it, done. You know, now it's 2012. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yes. Yeah, and absolutely, you know, I do agree with you 100% on that. And I always like to hear that answer because I think that's the best answer. You know, I don't believe in the whole doomsday thing. There isn't one particular date, but I do believe, you know, like you were saying, that there's something happening now for sure that's bigger than just an evolutionary process. I think we're at a stage where we're on, like, the pivotal brink of something. You know, so it's where we're raising our consciousness or something. You know, something's shifting for sure.
Mm.
On a global scale,
yeah.
Okay, well, we don't have any callers yet, and no questions on chat. I think people are shy tonight. Sometimes that does happen when we have, you know, our celebrity guests on. Sometimes they get a little shy, so, so we'll just keep chatting.
I don't think you scare anyone.
No, well, and that's the case. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, everyone else is waiting for the other person to call, you know. Nobody wants to call in.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just continue to chat. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about in terms of spirituality, in terms of, you know, your inner self or your inner, you know, your private life, anything that you'd like to tell fans or people listening?
You know, I noticed on your website you were talking about synchronicity and flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very interesting, you know, interesting topic. And again, I think, you know, if you are if you're aware, you start noticing, you know, that the more you put out there, or more like, you know, whatever you put out there, that's the kind of things you get back. So, you know, they say people say, oh, you know, he or she is lucky. Yeah, you know, I think the harder you work, the luckier you get. Because, you know, when you're ready and the opportunity comes, then the success happens. I think, you know, talking about being positive and staying on that higher vibrational level, I think it's something, you know, I think that you attract basically what you put out there, you know, and then circumstances happen around you, you know, that you're like, oh, wow, you know, I just manifested that, or more like, you know, I put it out there and it just manifested itself. So
yeah.
I think it's quite interesting. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I mean, like I was saying in the beginning, you're in a personal year of 8, so definitely the synchronicities would be, you know, either brewing or actually manifesting this year. And then next year you're moving into the 9 year, so you're definitely going to be seeing a lot of changes, in the positive, though, a lot of different, things that you've been working on or things that you've been, you know, striving towards are really, you know, the ball will get rolling, so to speak.
Great.
And I noticed your film, The Gala Walker, is it? Is it called Gala Walker? That's due out next year?
That's due out, early spring next year. Now, can I ask you something? Do you believe that even projects, not just human beings, have their own energies? You know, like
everything does. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything has energy. You know, the computer, the desk that I'm looking at.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
has energy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, talking about the film Gala Walker, you know, I believe that film again has its own energy, and that film, you know, it's almost like, you know, it was a long process, and it had to kind of mature and go through whatever it had to go through in order to come out. So
the timing. Yeah, it's about
the
timing.
It's all
yeah.
about the timing.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah, and yeah, and I do believe, you know, even houses can have an effect on us, you know, where
yes.
we live, the vibration
absolutely.
Of the house.
Absolutely.
Definitely, yeah.
Yes, you know, I'm very specific, like, which numbers not to live in, or, you know, if I see a specific number, I'm like, no, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was actually, someone very close to me said to me, she was like, you know, this is not a good number, and you know, you should always look for one, or you should look for six. You know, like, apparently four is not a good number to live in, or 13, I don't know. You know, again, I have to brush up on my numerology skills or notion.
Well, the one for you would work, because one is also a doer number, so you're very much an active doer kind of person, right? So the one would work for you, but some people couldn't live in a one because it's... I had a lady once who lived in a house that was 111, and
uh-huh.
she said it always felt like it was a revolving door. It was like...
Really?
So busy, you know? People were coming in and
yes.
out, and then her
yes.
kids were, you know, leaving for soccer and, you know, just rotating door, and she just found it very, very stressful. So
if you have 111, wouldn't that be three?
It would be. But the individual numbers also play
uh-huh.
a factor. So if you had multiple numbers
right.
in there, it's still going to... It's like an undertone, right? So
yes.
you have a three house, but you've got all of those one energies kind of playing in there as well. So it's not
and
as
so
strong
what?
As the... It's not as strong as the sum of the
mm-hmm.
number, but it's still there.
Right. And so what is number 14?
Well, that would add to a five. Now, the five
mm-hmm.
house is very erratic energy, because five is the number of the heart and emotions. So
uh-huh.
when you have five energy, it's just, you know, it can be moody and, you know, all those things, just very erratic. So
mm-hmm.
My husband and I almost bought a five house, and there was something about it that just didn't seem right, and I thought,
right.
And it was because it was so erratic, and I just, you know, I'm a very stable, kind of practical, grounded person,
right.
so it just didn't work with my energy, for sure.
I'm living in the house at 14.
Oh, are you? You
yes.
know, that could work for you, though, like I say, because you're
mm-hmm.
you're very emotional-based. You've got a lot of emotion, you know, you're very empathic. But you could handle that erratic energy because of
right,
the
right.
fact that you're the seven, yeah. So you're
mm-hmm.
you're the doer and the leap before thinking kind of person. So you
right.
can handle that, for sure. And I think it will drive you into, you know, this thing that I was talking about with the eight and moving into the 9 year with things
mm-hmm.
snowballing and really taking off, because five is always largely associated with career change or
right,
finding your
right.
life purpose. So I think
mm-hmm.
the five will really help you. Yeah.
Oh, great.
For sure.
Great. Yes.
Okay. So is there anything else you'd like to discuss about your spirituality or anything at all? We have about 10 minutes left, so if you'd like to...
I can't think of anything. I think we kind of covered quite a lot. And if you have any questions or if you want to raise something, you know, just to talk about, I'd be very happy to answer.
Okay. Well, let me just see here. Well, I guess, you know, I did have another question for you. It was in regards to travel, and I know you've traveled a lot, but is there one particular place that you haven't been to yet that you'd really like to go to?
I'd love to go to Japan. Maybe, you know, I see Japan as quite, I don't think I would ever want to live there, but I think it is actually quite erratic from, it just, my energy just tells me that it's quite nuts. I think it's, but yet very fascinating, and also on you know, maybe like what I'm talking about is actually Tokyo, but maybe, you know, the other islands and other areas of Japan, it's probably quite spiritual and quite zen. So that's one place I've never been to, but I would love to go. I would also love to explore other countries in Africa. as well as, sorry, I'm jumping back and forth, but I would love to travel around Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos, and also India. You know, I've been to Thailand, been to Singapore. You know, Thailand was magical. Talking about peace, I really felt just peace in the whole nation. But, you know, Japan is something, it's just, to me, it's very puzzling the way the whole mentality, you know, I was just saying to somebody else the other day that to me, I feel Japanese are like the closest to human robot. They're so disciplined, you know, and just fascinating. To me, it's just very fascinating, you know, the discipline and the way of living. And, you know, they're so forward thinking and, you know, it's like a, that's very futuristic. So I would love to go and check it out. And, of course, I love Japanese food, so that would be interesting.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think Africa would be on my list, too. And it's funny you mentioned that you really liked Michael Jackson because I, you know, as a kid, I had his album and, you know, I'd always dance to his music. So I thought that was so hilarious when you said that because I thought, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one.
Well, you know, I think he was also very interesting, I mean, you know, super interesting person, but I think his energy was very misunderstood. Or he was very misunderstood as a person.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe he was very pure, and I felt his energy was very pure. It's almost like, you know, like the childlike energy that, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say much more because obviously some people would think, yeah, you know, that was your idol, and then you're bound to say things that are just, you know. But
well,
you know,
I can tell you from a numerological standpoint, he was a 5, which is the number of the heart, right? So he was a very compassionate, loving person, but also he had all 3 of the soul plane numbers. So combined with him being a 5 plus all of those soul plane numbers, he was nothing but compassionate, loving energy. So it's like you said, I think they had him all wrong, right? You know, he wasn't the strange and unusual creep or whatever they wanted to call him. He was very loving and childlike, like you say, very much so.
I just very pure, you know, like I think he would see purity in everything. And, you know, sometimes I just think, you know, he was just way too pure for this planet. And, you know, sometimes you just have to live in the spirit world. So,
yeah,
things happen.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, interestingly, well, Michael Jackson was a 5, but so was Hitler. So it's neat to see how people use their energy differently, you know?
Absolutely. Just like, you know, it's the same energy that you can use if you use it inward or outwards. You know, sometimes you can implode and you know, same thing with, like, anger, like all the negative energy. There's a lot of heat in it. But if you use that energy for the better, you can create some amazing things. It's just all about how you harness that energy. But I think you have to recognize it. You know, you have to really recognize it. And then to be able to harness it and you know what to do with it. You know, I also think, like, I could just easily, you know, I've never touched drugs. Everyone's like, but how did you do it? Like, you were traveling on your own and you were such a wild child. I mean, yeah, you know, I was wild, but I was just following my dream. But I was also very driven and focused. And I could as well use that energy and just, you know, go in a Lindsay Lohan way, you know, and thank God that didn't happen, you know, because I was so just focused on my ambition and on, you know, on that birth vision, what I call, you know, so it's always good to have something to hang on to.
Yes, I agree. You know, you come across as a very, very wise lady for your age. And I won't say your age on air, but you've got a lot of years ahead of you, and you're very wise for your age. Absolutely.
But, you know, I started when I was traveling since I was 13. You know, and 14 I was totally on my own, and I you know, you learn. Like, my God, I mean, you know, there are parts of me that are very, you know, still very, like, you know, naive, and there's still a lot of learning, and very blonde. But, you know, I still have many, you know, years to, because, you know, I'm an adult, but to a lot of my friends, they'd be like, oh my God, when are you going to grow up? But, you know, I think, you know, what I just shared with you is, I guess, that is the part what got me or held me together, that I didn't fall apart on my travels, you know. So, Yeah, and just the belief. I think belief is what kept me going, and yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was a good interview. You know, you answered the questions very well, you know, and I still can't get over how wise you are for your age.
Just, thank you.
When I was
like 18 and I was talking to people I came to America and I was talking to people in New York, and they were like, and I was telling them all the crazy experiences I've been through and places I traveled, and they were like, my God, Simone, you sound like you're 40. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, and now like 10 years later, I'm talking to them and they were like, my God, but like, you still sound the same. Is this, you know, I'm like, no, you know, I have grown up big time, but and it all, you know, it hasn't been all pink and rosy, but I guess those kind of experiences make you, again, it's what you do with it, you know, and how you deal with it. So
yes, and like I was telling you in the beginning, you know, the sevens, they almost live several lifetimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
in one, so they tend to be mature for their age, definitely.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Simone, for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, no problem. It was my pleasure. My pleasure indeed. We'll definitely have to keep in touch. I'd like to hear how your Gala Walker movie, you know, when it comes out and how everything goes.
Great.
And how the next year is going to go for you, because it's going to be definitely a whirlwind year for sure.
Well, you'll definitely hear from me.
Yes. So best of luck, Simone, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Okay, next show, we have, let me see here, we have Ryan Ray, host of the LA-based talk show Wake Up, Explore Your Passion. Ryan's mission, as he defines it, is to empower others to live their lives to the fullest. So Ryan will be coming on the show to talk about his deep desire to inspire others to realize their dreams. I can't wait for this one, because I'm definitely the kind of person that loves to talk about passion. So thank you all for listening, and please do tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift.